Welcome back to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. As the baby boom generation gets older, more and more attention is shifting to the millennials. Those 18 to 34 years old are expected to exert growing influence on politics as their voting bloc takes up a larger share of the electorate. Curtis Audette is president of the Michigan Federation of College Democrats, and he's a senior at Michigan State University. Welcome, Curtis.
Thank you for having me, Cynthia.
And Connor Walby is the campaign manager for Republican State Representative Frank Foster in Michigan's 17th district. Connor has also interned for various conservative representatives on the state and the federal level. Connor Walby, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on today.
You are both very, very active politically, but that's not so much the case amongst everyone in your generation. We saw one statistic that said something like 19% of millennials voted in the last election. Why do you think this voter apathy exists as compared with older voters? Connor, I'll let you take it first.
Absolutely. Well, I think with our generation and having Twitter, Facebook, and the like, is we're blasted with a lot of the 24-hour media cycle. And with that, you also get a lot of the negative news coverage. I think a lot of our generation is pretty sick and tired of some of the policies that have been put in place and are just sick of the politicians and the political atmosphere in general. I think with that being said, they're probably a little bit more involved in stuff like BuzzFeed and stuff that is more entertaining rather than getting into politics, especially with the job market out there. I think people are a little bit more concerned about how they're going to find a job than rather what the government's role is in that.
So I hear you saying people might more tend to jump into BuzzFeed to read some funny listicle than kind of plunge into political discourse.
Absolutely. And BuzzFeed does a very good job of also jumping into the political discourse, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it does have a negative connotation for the most part. So again, that's kind of reiterating, and you kind of get this loop of, you know, the negative aspects of politics. Now, that could be a good thing if people are motivated, like myself and a few others, to get involved in that. However, I feel that a lot of our generation, given the connectivity and the globalization of our culture, we feel that as one voice, as a younger person, we don't have a lot of say in politics. And I think that also drives their decision to remain out of the discussion as well.
Curtis Audette, what's your take?
Well, I definitely agree. Negative campaigning, and especially negative messaging, tends to turn off millennial voters. The amount of inaction in Washington is seen as a direct consequence of partisan bickering. And millennials are more skeptical of negative ads and messaging because they want to hear why they should vote for a candidate and not necessarily why not. And so, like, when I'm organizing on my campus, I want a fellow classmate or student to understand that it's not about the importance of voting, but rather the importance of being a voter. And that's when I have discussions with these voters, and we often discuss values we share, whether it be equal protections for everyone or protecting our environment. And if we want to, like, advance these values, we need to support candidates who share these same ideals. And that's really what kind of just turns that discussion, and it makes them want to become maybe a little more active and see that they actually have a voice and can change something.
Who do you think should or could change this feeling overall of apathy and cynicism? By that, I'm wondering, do you think it's the politicians? For example, we saw young voters really rallied for Barack Obama in 08. Or would it be political parties themselves, like the Young Democrats or the Young Republicans on college campuses and university campuses? So who should be changing this, Connor?
Yeah, in my opinion, I really think it's the politicians. And this kind of goes back to Curtis's point about engagement. If you look at some of the best companies, the best brands across the world, they do something very well to our generation, and that is communicate and engage. If I tweet at Nordstrom's, at Delta Airlines about a bad service or about my great service, you know, there might be a chance that they talk to me and they engage back. And that's going to send a really good message, not only to me, but to all my followers and all to theirs. So for politicians to really take the key on this and kind of go with it, kind of take the ball and run, if they can start engaging us and wanting voters on Twitter, Facebook, even Instagram, and they can kind of communicate back just as much as Curtis said, I think that's going to really change our attitude about the cynicism and about our doubts about politics and about politicians themselves.
Curtis, I'll let you jump in.
Definitely. I agree. One of the issues that I have, and I'm sure Connor understands too, is that all of our candidates and political parties, they have a hard time engaging and communicating with millennials and with young voters, and there really isn't a message that's geared towards them. And most of it's because there is this apathy and cynicism amongst our age group. And both parties know they have a demographic issue. It might lean more towards liberal as far as people wanting to vote that way. But I remember looking back, the RNC in March unveiled a new ad that was intended to appeal towards millennials. And one of the ads features a young man who feels lucky for having a job, but he also notes that many of his friends are unemployed. And he continues to say that he is a Republican because you can't help the unemployed by hurting the people who could employ them with regulations. And so some of the nationwide surveys that we see show millennials want government on their side instead of being off their back. So asking a little more from the wealthy in order to invest in job creation is more than an empty promise. It's a sound economic policy for millennials. And I think millennials have a problem supporting a candidate or a party that would rather hand over a problem to a middleman in hopes of creating change when they would rather see a direct action towards the issues they care about and the values they hold. And unfortunately, our candidates and our political parties aren't necessarily gearing us up towards that or trying to engage with us as much as they should be.
And I hear both of you saying this is something you see on the right and the left equally. And I'm betting some of that is you have older folks running who don't quite get the way to use the social media that speaks to your generation.
Exactly. I think one of the things we saw in 2012 and in even 2008, Barack Obama and his campaign, they really championed getting millennials out to vote by using social media, especially with things like graphics, using Twitter, using Instagram, all sorts of these social media tools that millennials use as a way of engaging with other people. And that's especially like where I'm starting to see campaigns in that go, is they're all trying to get on Facebook and Twitter, and that's how they're going to be able to engage millennial voters coming this next election.
Connor, is it a big push for you to try to get folks to kind of see this on the conservative side?
You know, absolutely. And Curtis raised a great point about Barack Obama engaging people and getting his voters to turn out over Twitter. I think one of the most memorable or things that stood out to me was he tweeted a picture of him and his wife hugging, I believe, right around election time, and it was one of the most retweeted pictures of all time since Twitter created. So for me, and as a conservative, I want to see my party start to build that up. And I think during the McCain election, they didn't have any clue what they were doing, but during the Romney election, they started to get a hang of it, and it's definitely a work in progress. And so I think what we need to do is start like the graphics that Curtis mentioned. I think those are very important to reach out to millennial voters and keep going and keep engaging them. Because if we can get, you know, a young, fresh-looking candidate or young, fresh-looking graphics that engage millennial voters, I think it's really going to start to, turn heads. Unfortunately, people don't like graphs, and that's a lot of what the Republican Party likes to put out there. So I think there needs to be a balance of showing real-life people and with economic and GDP and graphical data.
If you've just joined us, we're talking about what it will take to appeal to millennial voters to kind of shake them out of that apathy and get them politically active. We're speaking with Connor Walby, who's campaign manager for Republican State Representative Frank Foster in Michigan's 107th District. He also has interned for various conservative representatives on the state and the federal level. And we're speaking with Curtis Audette. Curtis is the president of the Michigan Federation of College Democrats. He's a senior at Michigan State University. Curtis, what do you feel are some of the issues that really matter most to millennials? And feel free to kind of take that into specific Michigan issues, too.
Yeah, definitely. Millennials, I think you see that, I believe the statistic is 7 in 10 millennials are for same-sex marriage and want it legalized. You see more millennials who are concerned about their college debt and that being an inability for them to purchase a home or being able to buy a car and really participate in the economy. And then also, too, things such as like the decriminalization of marijuana. These are all issues that tend to engage people. And one of the things that I've noticed in my experience is organizing is that ballot proposals and initiatives can really bring out young voters to vote. The kind of turnout we might see would be based on those topics such as the legalization of same-sex marriage or the decriminalization of marijuana. Because millennials see this as an opportunity or chance to personally create change and enact direct action.
A clear cut yes or no. It can happen or it cannot happen based on what I do.
Exactly.
All right. And from the other side?
Well, I think really for Michigan college graduates and millennial voters, I really think they're concerned about getting a jobs. And luckily in the past 4 years, we've had a great governor and a great state legislature on both the Senate and the House sides that have really boosted our economy. You know, you have state entities like the MEDC, which is both loved and hated by both sides, but they have tried to engage in with this Michigan Business Connect. They are trying to get voters out there and to get a job. And I think if you're graduating college, you have student loan debt. If you're from Michigan, you know, do you want to stay in Michigan? Do you have other states that you are looking at to get a job? So I think the real big issue is getting a job. And I'm not going to knock decriminalizing marijuana or same-sex marriage, but I think a lot of the millennial voters are looking at this debt that they've accumulated and wanting to get that job so that they can start a career, not only one, and two, to start paying off that debt.
And just final thoughts, and we've touched on it earlier in our conversation, but I feel free to go a little deeper with this. Knowing that we have elections coming up in November, entire state House and Senate, the governor, the secretary of state, attorney general, not to mention local campaigns and issues, I will start with Curtis. Tell us what you believe the smart political candidate will say and do to appeal to a millennial voter.
It's about having discussions with a lot of these college students about, you know, what direction do they want to see the state or the country or their local municipality take, and what can we do to make sure that they stay here in Michigan and want to grow and have a family, and issues like making sure that college is affordable and something that every student can reach if they want to do. And so that's what candidates are going to have to talk about and really engage students in other ways that they may not have had in the past.
And for the conservative view, Connor Walby?
Absolutely. I think you turn to how the unemployment rate has gone down in the past years, as well as the number of jobs that have grown, and specifically the type of jobs. There was a report, I think, came out this past week from the MEDC that stated that jobs are, you know, high-paying jobs are coming. That Silicon Valley, Detroit is becoming, or will become a home for venture capitalists and newfound technologies and startups and buildups. I mean, that's what our core is. That's what Detroit has always been about. It's about the rough and tough, the nitty-gritty, the startups. So I think you really play on that the business atmosphere in Michigan is going to be better than it has ever before. And I think, again, you just got to talk and engage and resound with these points. And that career opportunities are available here in Michigan, and they're good career opportunities. And what we've done in the past, the governor and the state house and the state senate, you know, in those particular offices, I would just, again, hate what they have done. They've cut Michigan business tax, personal property taxes have gone down, they've passed right to work. So I think if you hit on all those things and you show them how they're affecting them and their career opportunities, I really think that the millennial voter will vote for you. However, that is all dependent on if you're engaged with them in the ways that we talk, which is in hashtags and tweets.
Connor Walby, campaign manager for Republican State Representative Frank Foster in Michigan's 17th District, and Curtis Audette, president of the Michigan Federation of College Democrats. It was a good conversation with both of you, and thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.